This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, this is indeed the William Hill Golf Podcast. Pleasure to have you with us here on the Golf Podcast. It's myself, Dave Kellner, and Mike Grenham to take you through a couple of decent events this week. One on the European Tour, the Open de France, and the Greenbrier Classic on the PGA Tour. But first, we always start off with a little bit of mourning about what happened last week in general.
Yeah.
And we've got to do it again this week because it was an immense playoff in the BMW International with Fabrizio Zanotti eventually prevailing from Henrik Stenson, Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Gregory Havre. Disappointing that Stenson couldn't get the job done in regulation, really.
You were win only, weren't you?
I was win only.
Yeah. He did ever so well to get in the mix, didn't he, with that eagle on about 14 or 15, whatever hole it was. He didn't look like he was going to be in the mix, I didn't think, earlier in the round. And then he came with a real run. But missed a couple of putts late on, one on the 18th and then one in the first playoff hole, was it?
Yeah.
That would have got the job done. Yeah, it was summed up the week, really. We had a lot of players in contention all week, didn't we, Dave? And none of them, if you don't include the Twitter bet on Kenny Perry, which came in each way.
Yep.
He should have won, by the way, at 33s in running. Oh, dear. Well, he should have definitely won. None of our main tour bets actually produce a return.
No.
Because you'd Gary Stahl going very well, I had Robert Carlson going very well. We'd both sung, you'll know, going exceptionally
that
well.
That was very frustrating.
At, very big prices. So it looked like being a great week, and it ended up being a nearly week, didn't it? On a whole range of different players.
That playoff was an absolutely cracking playoff. It really was. It really was exciting. Some high quality play. The playoff was extended when Stenson, Zanotti and Rafa Cabrera-Bello all made birdie on the 18th in the playoff. There were only 10 in regulation. They all made birdie on that playoff hole,
right?
Which
yeah,
is just
incredible
on the Sunday. Zanotti's a much improved player, Mike.
Yeah, he was a little bit. I'd gone when I went back to look at his current form. It was a lot better than I realised, Dave. So he'd gone under the radar for me.
Yeah, he had hinted.
He'd been playing well, hadn't he?
He had ever since his Q school. I think he finished second in Q school. He's definitely played better this season. And I somehow managed to pick him for the Nordea Masters when he missed the cut. Subsequently went on to finish well in the Lioness, the Irish Open, then a winner last week. We've mentioned the event at Congressional, Mike, briefly. Justin Rose ended up winning in a playoff, two playoffs on tour last week, beating Sean Stefani in that playoff. And
I stopped watching that once Sung Young.
Yeah, I was sulking as well.
I was sulking and I watched the series.
I got the feeling watching the I did watch a little bit of the closing round, despite I was just miserable while watching it. The USGA must have been thinking, here's what could have happened if we'd got the perfect conditions, because obviously Rory ripped that golf course apart back in 2011 soft.
Yeah.
It played like a US Open. Yes. That final round, I mean, tough, there were some big numbers out there.
Yeah, it's good to see, apart from when your man's shooting doubles every hole.
Yes, it is good to see, though.
Because leading, wasn't he, Dave, in the final round for a bit? Yeah, anyway.
The show goes on.
Move it on.
Mr. Grenham. The Open de France is the European Tour event this week, and it's 8-1 Martin Kaymer, who's favourite. Graham McDowell is 10-1. Francesco Molinari is 16s. Thomas Bjorn is 20s. Jamie Donaldson, 22s. Joost Luiten, 25-1. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, 25s. Victor Dubuisson, 25-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. In my opinion, this is one of the top five events on the European Tour, and that's largely...
Top five?
Yeah, I think so. And that's largely down to the golf course. It's an absolute cracker, Le Golf National. It will be hosting the 2018 Ryder Cup. It measures 7,000...
Their promotional for that event will be absolute cracker.
No doubt. It is a stadium golf course as well, isn't it, Mike? It apparently can hold 80,000 people, so that should be a spectacular event in 2018. And it's a very good test as well. In each of the last 3 years, it's been won with a single-digit under-par score. And last year, Graeme McDowell shot a stunning final round 67 to win by four from Richard Stearney. He was back this week, Richard Stearney, after his... I think he's had hip surgery, hasn't he, I think, Stearney?
Yes.
And it's a golf course that demands accurate ball striking. And when it's firm and the wind blows, it's a demanding test. But reports in the lead-up to the event suggest that they've had an unusual amount of rain for this time of year, so it might play softer than it has done in the previous
might
few
play
years.
Softer might play a little bit longer, but I wouldn't overstate that. I have seen that myself. It could be a factor.
What's the key?
Greens in regulation.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it? Greens in regulation, absolute key stat here. Scrambling is tough, and if you're out of position, you get punished, and that's the way it should be on tour.
Yes,
Mike.
Really good course, really good event.
I've got the one pick here. I know. We mentioned this off air before I came in. I nearly had a
Couldn't
second
you be
pick.
What was that?
I nearly had a second pick, but the guy I fancied quite strongly is just a little bit too short in the market.
Okay.
Me.
Well, I've got three picks.
So come on, Tim, in due course.
I've got three picks, and I could easily have had five, in truth. But I'll start with probably my nap at the prices is Bernd Wiesberger, 50-1 with William Hill. Second in the Lioness Open about a month ago in his native Austria, played well there. I think he topped the greens in regulation stats in that event, strangely enough, very accurate off the tee as well that week. He subsequently missed the cut in the US Open, which is no disgrace, and also in the BMW event at the weekend there, where he just it was 2 under but missed the cut. So he didn't play horribly by any means. But as good course form here, progressive, 62nd, 47th and 13th last year. So I'm hoping that he can go another 10 or 12 places better this year. That's how it works, isn't
it? Yeah, that would be nice if it did work like that.
Yeah, top 25 for greens and regulation both this year and last. And he can scramble well as well, Wiesberger, if that comes into it. I just think he's a quality player, and around 50, 60, 61, whatever he is, he's... well worth a point each way.
50-1, Bernd Wiesberger, a point each way. You tried again. You're not going to slip one past this keeper. This is Tim Howard, this side of the
If you don't
studio.
Challenge it, I reckon I've got it too.
50-1.
Shall I give another one?
Yeah, give your second pick
the
as
second
well.
The second one will come as no surprise to regular listeners to the podcast. Can you guess?
Hugh Slouten.
Yes. Not got very good course form is the one key thing that people might shout. And that would be a very fair challenge, in truth, for the Dutchman. He hasn't particularly starred here in any of his four outings at the track, and it's just finished top 50 in three out of four outings, missed the cut in the other. But I just think, again, his game's tailor-made for somewhere like this. He's not necessarily this year yet, but his greens and regulation stats are always very good. He's very accurate off the tee for a guy who can hit it a bit of a way. Scrambles well also. I just have a feeling that he'll be out to impress on this Ryder Cup type, this Ryder Cup venue.
Yeah.
He's desperate to get into the Ryder Cup team. And ignore his past outings here. He's in very, very good form. Another one who just missed a cut in the US Open. But before that was third in the Lioness, where his stats were excellent in the key attributes here. 12th at Wentworth, 4th in the Open de España. There is three European Tour outings before that. So I'm willing to ignore the lack of course form, go for the player's attributes and say 25s. I just think he'll be in the mix.
25-1, Hugh Slouten. I've actually gone for an Aussie as my headline selection. Richard Green is my only pick, number one pick here. I do like experience around this golf course, and he's got plenty of it. This is a venue that clearly suits Richard Green's eye. He's got 5 top 10 finishes in the last decade here, and comes into this event in very decent form as well. Had a 62 last week in the BMW International, eventually finishing in tied 12th. And that augurs well. Even though he's far from being a prolific winner on tour, which is a notable concern, he can be a little bit shaky in contention, I believe. He does have 3 wins in his career. And you look back to his performance in the Open de España mid-May as well, finished tied 2nd there. He's in pretty good form, solid form, the Aussie. So I'll go with Richard Green, a point each way at 50-1.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. He played well last week, didn't he? And cracking course form. Emiliano Grillo?
Yeah, he was on my list.
Was he?
He was because he's such a good ball striker.
He is. Yeah, and that's the attribute here, isn't it? Unfortunately, the PGA European Tour rather don't do ball striking stats.
No.
I'd like to have seen that, but he'd be right at the top of it because he's top 25 or thereabouts for accuracy and he's third, I think, for greens in regulation. Played ever so well last week. He's won. The one thing that he needs to improve on, and will be important enough here, is putting. He needs to. His putting's
and closing, I think, as well. Yes. He's had a few chances, hasn't
he?
Now?
He's a young man, though. The analogy of knocking on the door and learning how to compete under pressure is a good one, and I think he's had a couple of final round flops, and he may have a couple more before he gets over the line. But at 66-1, I thought that was a very generous price for. Top 10 in the BMW, should have been better actually.
Yep.
Could even have won. Him and Larrazabal would be two guys who would be kicking themselves in that event. But yeah, he's fifth at the African Open this season, a couple of good finishes in the Hispania, second in the Dubai Desert. He certainly knows how to contend. Let's see if he can get over the line at 66s.
Yeah, he's one of those players that if he's four or five back going into the final round, he might need one of those where playing ahead of the head of the pressure groups at the back end, and he might spring a shock when you least expect it at a big price in play if you're looking at in running back.
Very possibly, Dave. He may not be one to lead in the final round. Where was it? Where he completely fell? Was it Hispania? I think it might have been the Hispania.
It could have been
where he was leading and had an absolute disaster on the 55th hole, the first hole of the final round. Yeah. Agüero, I think he's got a lot of ability.
I think he's immensely talented.
And let's hope he can build on Zanotti's win of last week. I believe they're friends.
That's the picks done then. My closest and the one that I would have gone for if it had been a slightly bigger price. I just thought 22-1 was underpriced. I like Jamie Donaldson here around this golf course a lot. I think he's an immensely improved player. Donaldson this season. He finished fifth last week at the BMW International, sixth here last season, Jamie Donaldson. Mm. I nearly went for him, but I thought 22s was just on the skinny side.
Not enough to tempt you over the line.
Not enough to tempt me over the line, but it wouldn't be a surprise if he went very, very close this week for me anyway.
Okay. I had a couple of guys that was very close to putting in. One really speculative pick, but this price is just tempting. Nicholas Coulthard, who has good form here. He's finished just out of the top 10 in the last two times he's played here. He's in a woeful run of missed cuts, it has to be said.
He's only just been missing, though, hasn't he?
Not by a lot, hasn't he? He's been on the cusp, as they say, in about three of those missed cuts. And in April, was second in the Malaysian Open, where he played ever so well, so 11 under, which isn't that long ago. This is a talented player, isn't it? This is a guy who could spring a win just out of nothing, I would think. And I may even have a little saver on him, in truth, because is he 80s or thereabouts?
He is, I just saw his price a second ago. I think he was, 80-1, Nicholas Coulthard.
Yeah, obviously. He's missed a few cuts, but good course form and a talented player. The other guy who was very, very close was Matteo Manassero.
Yeah, I was just about to mention him other one, yeah.
Solid here, isn't he?
I thought you might have gone for him. Yeah, he's very solid. Four top 30s in all four appearances here at the Open de France. And he's the sort of character that you think would be very, very much suited to this test.
Yeah. I'd only say that I'd have expected him maybe to finish a little bit higher than 17th as his best out of four outings. And he's not in spectacular form.
No.
So he is the player I don't want to win, though, I have to say, in that event. You know, he was the closest by a mile.
I wonder if Cabrera Bayo will improve on his course form as well, because he didn't shirk the issue last week at all, finished spectacularly into that playoff. Yeah. And his greens in regulation statistics for his last few appearances have been astonishing. He's right up there, so he could have another good week.
And for once, he putted very well, didn't he?
He did.
The last two or three holes of the regulation were amazing. So I have a lot of time for Cabrera Bello. I just think maybe a bit of mental letdown this week on a course where he hasn't a lot of form, so I left him alone at 25s. But he's back on my to watch list. Yes. And he went off it a bit because he just was messing around, but not literally, but you know, he was
playing with the back of his putter, making noises
behind people when they were or talking when teacher was talking or anything like that. But he just didn't seem to be progressing. But no, that last few weeks, he's been much better. Just a top 20 or a top 10 proposition. Soren Kjeldsen has in sensational form here, and he's 200-1.
Yeah,
I might even have a little outright saver on him. He's such a big price. And the ditto Graham Storm, very good course form, those two guys at big prices.
Let's move on to the...
What about Martin Keimer, Dave, before you move on?
Sorry. Yeah, the chaps at the top of the betting... I think Keimer, I was dead against him in the event in Germany, the BMW International, wasn't it? I wasn't with him at all there. But I think he'll.
Are you just saying that because you got it right?
Yeah, yeah. I think he'll play well this week.
Yeah, he's won here before.
I could leave both Keimer and McDowell at 8-1 and 10-1 respectively.
I could leave McDowell at 12s. I'd be tempted by Keimer at 8s, and of course he's won out before if he. He might have needed that run last week, and
I think people forget how inconsistent McDowell is. When he's gone off short prices for numerous events and failed to feature, and then pops up at 40-1, 66-1 in a major. I'm not with him at tens.
Yeah, I'm totally with you with what you've just said. Yeah. Back him when he's a bigger price. I mean, you know, he's talented enough to win anywhere, but he's a bit inconsistent.
The Greenbrier Classic is this week's PGA Tour event, and Bubba Watson is the 10-1 favourite. Jimmy Walker, 12-1. Webb Simpson, 16s. Brendan Todd is 20-1. Bill Haas is 22s. Gary Woodland, 25s. Keegan Bradley, 25-1. Kevin Na, 25-1. Steve Stricker is 25s, and it's 28s bar. I like Haas being in that first 10, so then at least he gets a mention.
He wouldn't get mentioned otherwise, would he? We hardly ever mention him, do we?
22-1 Bill Haas here. This event is played at Old White TPC at the Greenbrier Resort, and the golf course was remodified after the event in 2010, where Stuart Appleby shot that 59 to win the event. It's still, Mike, a resort venue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, and it's an easy test for these players.
Yes, it is. It's a low-scoring event, isn't it?
And Jonas Blix last year showed off his incredible short game to win the championship. He was outside the top 40 in driving distance, driving accuracy and greens in regulation, but still managed to win by two shots from Stephen Bowditch, Matt Jones and Johnson Wagner. He scrambled brilliantly, ranked second in strokes gained putting for the week. And the previous year, Ted Potter Jr. sprang a surprise as well. You can get shocks at this venue.
Yeah, well, I remember watching that the year Ted Potter won it, and I was in America at the time, and I remember turning on the coverage, and I thought I was watching a web.com event for about five holes, because it was people like Belgian and Potter, and was it Troy Kelly, the other guy?
Yes.
And I'd not heard of any of them, or vaguely anyway. I thought, they were kind of... when are they going to put on the main tour? And then I realised it was the main tour.
I know, and it's that sort of venue where you can get shocks, because if you scramble and put well, because it's not a test from tee to green, a lot of players can win.
And for that reason, there were two players that I really liked this week, but they're just too short in the betting. Thank you very much, Mark Adshead. And I've had to go for bigger prices because on that rationale, really, Dave. I've gone for a couple of bigger prices anyway because... there are more players in it, I think, when conditions are easier, don't you?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I've got three picks for this event, though.
All
at quite big prices, in all honesty.
Good lad.
I'll start off with the biggest price of all, and the one that I think's most overpriced in the betting. Richard H. Lee is my first pick. 200-1, Richard H. Lee here. Not done much on tour this season. Did have a couple of top tens earlier in the season at Pebble Beach and the low-scoring Puerto Rico Open. But there's plenty to like about his performance at Congressional last week, where he finished tied 11th. And on that golf course, you've got to be in control of your long game, which has obviously been his crux this season. But it shows that that's in good shape. And despite his poor results this season, his short game has been bang up to scratch. He's barely had a decent finish all year, but he's still inside the top 60 in scrambling and ranks 13th in strokes gained putting this season. I think his game suits the golf course. He's had two appearances here, finished tied 41st last year and tied 38th in 2012. Those are the 2 years he's been on tour. fully Richard H. Lee. I thought 200 to 1 was massive given the way he performed last week at Congressional and those statistics. Yeah. I think that's a he was right there at Congressional, but as we saw with Sung, you'll know it was so difficult that final day. Just didn't quite have the long game to cope, but I think that's very encouraging. Yeah, I think 200 to 1 is a big price. So yeah, I'll go point
slightly overlooked, I would think, there, Dave, that 200 to 1, he's got reasonable course form and the stats that probably matter. So, yeah, I like that pick. I'm going for outsiders. So I'm going for Sir Nick Faldo is my second. No, he isn't. 1,000 to 1, Sir Nick Faldo, Dave.
Yeah, you need to add another note to that, wouldn't you?
Probably would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think.
For Nicky boy. Love listening to him on the TV. I'm not so sure about backing him, though.
No, I agree.
Great player that he was. I have got two outsiders, but one guy who I fancy quite strongly that is a decent enough price of the market leaders to give me encouragement to get stuck in. Chris Kirk is my headline pick.
Yeah, he's my second pick.
Have you picked him as well?
Yeah, I've picked him. I think he's definitely the best of the market
leaders.
Well,
go on. I talked a lot about the other one. You say why you picked Chris Kirk then.
Okay. He's not got... First of all, we'll start with a negative, as I always do. I'm always a pessimist. He's not got much course form, has he?
No, he hasn't. No. His course form's average.
It is average. It is average. But he's now made 21 straight cuts on tour, Chris Kirk. Mm. It's a testament to his quality, and he loves low-scoring events. We've mentioned this on the podcast before. His win this season came at the McGladrey. That's a low-scoring par 70. His maiden win came in the Viking Classic back in 2011.
Yep.
Another low-scoring event, shot 22 under that week. He's just in red hot form at the moment. Respectable tied 28th at the US Open, came on the back of a tied 13th at the Players, tied 14th at Colonial, tied 4th at Memorial. So these are all top quality finishers in better fields than this. Superb putter, makes a heck of a lot of birdies, best on resort courses, ranks 18th in scrambling as well. So even if his long game's a little bit off, he can score well. Chris Kirk's tailor-made for this venue. 40 to 1's a big price.
Yeah, I thought it was a big price. I'd echo all of that, Dave. Top 40 for stroke gains, putting and birdie average. And actually, his US Open finish could have been a bit better because he had a poor final round, hadn't he? So, yeah, I love all of that. Endorse everything you've said. Lump on.
Yeah, I would. I'd have a good bet on him.
Each way, I think at 40s, he's
the standout.
He's the standout in the event for me. He's got, yeah. I have to say, he's got a much better chance than my two other picks, but
go on,
but he's a lot lower price. So at 150 to 1, Dave, I'm going to give Sangmun Bae a go.
Okay.
Yeah. As I say, the case for my next two is not as strong.
Not as convincing.
No, I have to say, might even have a point and a half each way on Kirk. You know,
I'm tempted to go bigger
two
now.
Two points.
Like we're talking about
too,
it.
Yeah. I'm getting more confident.
Yeah.
Sangmun Bae, Dave, has missed three of his last four cuts in truth, but got a top 25 at Travellers in the middle of all that. Has played here before, made the cut, didn't do anything remarkable. He's had a couple of good finishes this season at the Northern Trust and at the Valspar. Won the Byron Nelson last year after what was a moderate run. So, you know, nothing to suggest that he can't win out of the blue. Top 20 for putting. And decent birdie average this season also. I just think this is the kind of course where Sangmun Bae might get on a bit of a run. And at 152-1, he caught my eye. I think he's a quality player, Bae.
Yeah.
He's a tour winner. And he's out there with the rags, as though he's got no chance. In an event where putting's very important, he's top 20 on tour. He's certainly able to get decent finishes, as he's shown two near top 10s this year. One last. Yeah, it's a speculative, obviously. Nowhere near as strong as a fancy Kirk. But 150s is big, you know.
Sangmun Bae, 150 to 1. My third selection, slightly shorter price, 66 to 1. I'm going with David Hearn, the Canadian. As
thought
my,
you might pick him.
Third
you
selection.
Like him, don't you?
I do like him. I think he's a very good player. He's not players yet this season, though. He has got a couple of tied 6 finishes at the Players and at the Honda Classic. Did finish tied 8th at the Valspar this season as well. Form coming in here is pretty good. Finished, as I mentioned, tied 6 Players. Followed it up with a tied 21st at Colonial. Then played in Memorial and finished tied 28th. Did miss the cut on the number at the FedEx St Jude, but he'd played a lot of golf. I like the fact that he's taken a little bit of a break, a little bit of time out, and stats read well for this event. He's finished in the he ranks in the inside the top 50 in both strokes gained putting and scrambling this season. So I do like David Hearn as a player, the Canadian, and a couple of quality finishes here as well. He's played here three times, finished 18th in 2011, finished 12th in 2012, did miss the cut, badly missed the cut actually in 2013. So that's the full transparency here, that's the negative. But
what
David
price is he
Hearn,
again, Dave?
66-1.
Yeah, did a good price. That was a very good play at Sawgrass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit of a breakthrough.
And again, that's kind of a second shot golf course and where you've got to scramble and put well at the players at TPC Sawgrass. So I'm hopeful with David Hearn, so I'll play a point each way at 66.
Fair news. My final pick is a guy that I think you might have picked recently, actually, but he had an absolute horrendous event in the Quicken Loans event last weekend. I'm going for Pat Perez as my final pick. Shot 78-81 in that. 78-81 in that event. Deary me.
That's not the sort of... If Pat Perez gets it going the wrong way on a golf course like that...
He gives up, doesn't he?
Gives up.
Spits the dummy out, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah, he does.
No, he has done in the past anyway.
Yeah, but now to put the case for the defence.
Yep.
In the three outings he's had at this course, he's got two top tens, a ninth and a sixth, sandwiched with a 27th in the middle. So his last three or four events on tour, top 50 at Sawgrass, but the three after that, he's missed a couple of cuts and played poorly at Memorial. But if you go back a few events, he was top 20 at both the Texas Open and the Heritage. Good course form here. And a three top tens to his name this year. So he is either playing really well or blowing out completely. So I'm willing at 80-1 to give Perez a chance in this event. He is a bit of a street player, and if he gets going and gets a bit of momentum behind him, he could absolutely replicate, you know, something like he did at the Farmers, where he was second earlier this year. He was seventh at Pebble, eighth in Sony. He's well able to be in the mix and get into the each way betting money, which is very important for us guys.
Yeah.
Equally, he could have a stop and miss the cut.
He could indeed. Pat Perez, 80-1. So some big price selections there for the Greenbrier. But I think this is a week where you've got to go speculative.
I think
that event.
I think I was bitterly disappointed with the prices of Gary Woodland and Kevin Na in this event, who both
25s.
Yeah, which it's hard to justify backing them at that price, I think. But Na is in superb form and, yeah, he just ticks all of the great putter, great birdie average, scrambling brilliantly. Second at Memorial, 12th in the US Open. Really, really playing well this season. And, you know, I thought I'd be picking him in truth, but then I saw 25s and I thought it's probably a little bit too short to justify. He was seventh here the last time he played here, to add to all of that. So, and Gary Woodland, ditto, has been on a slightly moderate run in the last three or four events, but had a good finish to his name behind Scott Stallings here a few years ago. And
I just wonder if he puts well enough.
He's 23rd for birdie average on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when he has a good week, he can hole them, yeah. Mm. And that's all you need in these type of events. I mean, Woodland won in Reno, didn't he, at the back end of last year with a big...
Yeah, if you get hot with the putter.
Yeah, and the one stat on tour that's the hardest, I think, to predict is putting. You know, the strokes gained putting stats tell you something, but on any given week, most of these guys can turn it on with the putter, and if they do, they can leave the stats behind. They don't tend to do that as much with the driver or with irons, greens and regulation stats, I don't think.
I always think, when I'm coming to assess an event, I always look at ball strikers and driving accuracy, greens and regulation, before putting at most events.
Yeah.
This is a little bit... This is like the exception that proves the rule in certain ways, because you can get away with it here, can't you, a little bit, I suppose, at Greenbrier,
off the tee,
as Blix showed last year, of course. But I in the main, I agree. I think I'm always looking at balls. I'd much rather back a ball striker than a red-hot putter that can't play the game as well.
Correct. And, you know, the putting, as we say, they're all great players, really. And it's so finite, the putting stats, and it's so easy to have a good week and jump up the rankings, I always feel. So, and we know there are people who roll the ball really well, you know, but That's my thoughts anyway on that. I mean, Jimmy Walker's been putting great this season.
He's got an outstanding chance, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got great course form.
12-1.
But 12s, Dave.
Yeah.
Could you justify backing? I could not back that with my own money, so I'm certainly not going to tip it up on a podcast of you. So, you know, Brendan Todd did so, playing out of his skin.
Yeah.
I think they're both top 10 in the SGP strokes game, putting stats, those two guys. Webb Simpson is as well. So they're all, their chance is obvious, but someone else comes along and has a better week putting it 4-5 times the price, you'd probably want to be with the other guy.
And Ben Martin, another one that I thought was worthy of mention, he's 40-1. He played really well last week in the Quickens Loans, played alongside Justin Rose, finished third in the end, had a birdie putt on 18 to get in the playoff there. And he's got three top three finishes this season. He's been in sparkling form, 13th at the St. Jude, 21st at the Crown Plaza, third at the Heritage. His form's top quality. He looks like making the breakthrough soon, but he's 40-1 in this field, and he's missed the cut by four on his only previous appearance here, and that's probably enough just to put you off at 40s.
Yeah, if you go back to last week's event, I get you. Patrick Reed probably will have his support as well, won't he, I think. And away from that, Cameron Tringali must surely play well at some point and get in the mix. And Chris Stroud I had a look at, but he's very underpriced at 50s.
Okay, you can follow us on Twitter, remember, folks, at D Kellner and at M Grenham. Who's the player you don't want to win before we recap the picks, Mike?
In Matteo, wasn't it, in the European event? And I don't know, Nah and Woodland.
There's a few, isn't there?
I was really disappointed at 25 to those.
Mine's definitely Jamie Donaldson in the European event, and I suppose Ben Martin was probably next on the list, closest in the Greenbrier. So I'll stick him up at 40s as a guy I don't want to win this week. We'll revisit the free lunch bet.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. Yeah, is there anyone that we could put? I owe you one, don't I? I've got to go buy you one.
Yes, you do at some point. I'd put up Jamie Donaldson against Hughes Loughton.
Oh, what price? Oh,
22s and 25s.
He's got much better course form, hasn't he? Oh, go on then.
We'll double or quits it. Double or quits it then.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, we'll double or quits it. Jamie Donaldson versus Hughes Loughton. Have I railroaded you here a little
slightly,
bit?
Slightly, yeah.
Would you rather pick another one with one of the picks?
No, I'll go in for that.
You sure?
I'll go in for that, yeah.
Okay. I don't want you complaining once we get off air here.
You know I will complain.
Yeah, I know you will. Jamie Donaldson versus Hughes Loughton as the free lunch bet then. Let's recap the picks. We'll start off with yours in the Open de France.
Open de France, where I actually bothered to do some work and you didn't, even though it was the feature event this week. Bernd Wiesberg, a point each way at 50s. Joost Loughton at Joost Loughton, I think they call him, at 25s. And Emiliano Grillo at 66s, a point each way on all those guys. And in the... Oh, do you want to give your pick?
Yeah, just one pick there.
Yeah,
pick. If you mention that. Richard Green, 50-1, a point each way in the European event. And in the Greenbrier, Mr.
In the
Grenham.
Greenbrier, again, I worked hard on this event also. Chris Kirk at 40-1, 1.5 points each way, Napa of the week. Sang Moon Bae, 150-1, and Pat Perez at 80-1. Probably go half a point Perez and a point each way Bae. I think he's big at that 150s, I do. Twitter last week I had a bet on Twitter.
Yeah, you did.
You never do. Kenny Perry at 33s in running.
That was nice. Very nice. My three picks for the Greenbrier. I'm going to go a point each way Richard H. Lee at 200-1. I'll play same stakes as you. I don't want you trumping me there. I'll go 1.5 points each way Chris Kirk at 40s and a point each way on David Hearn at 66-1. You can follow us on Twitter, please do.
I mentioned that a bit early there before your final picks, didn't I? Yeah, I jumped the gun.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I know you're upset with me about Open de France. The Open de France one selection. So I'll let you off. You can follow us, myself and Mike, on Twitter. Just mention those handles again, at D Kellner and at M Grenham. Also check out Golf Twitter Tipster.
At Golf Twitter Tipster. Yeah. Now, what is the Twitter handle?
At Golf Twit Tipster.
That's it.
And it's golf well twittertips.co.uk.
All the tips that come in, and some of the guys are having a fantastic season, and which is annoyingly better than we are.
Thank you for listening to this week's golf podcast, and we'll be back for more golfing action next week. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Tell your friends.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.